Joel Harrington joins us now from the Nature Conservancy, which is a group working in New Hampshire. It's part of a worldwide organization, I believe, and we'll have Joel tell us about that. But they wrote a letter to the Department of Energy back in December on this Northern Pass project, and they have some very serious concerns about this. And Joel, welcome to Bulldog Live.
Hey, it's great to be here.
All right, you were at the session yesterday.
I wasn't there as long as you were, though. And I certainly wasn't taking the copious notes that you were as well. So I hope your listeners give you a lot of credit for that.
Thank you. And if people want to hear, because, I mean, the audio I'm playing today is only a fraction of what was told there. And people can visit briantilton.com, click on the Northern Pass page, and they can hear Gary Long's testimony unedited. They can hear all the opponents' testimony unedited as well, so they can get a good view of what a lot of the concerns are, and might even see somebody they know listed there.
Right.
So, but yes, this is a project that's going to affect 140 miles of New Hampshire. But the Nature Conservancy, just so people understand who you guys are, what is it that you folks do?
Well, we're a international nonprofit organization that our basic mission is to preserve the places of natural beauty and animals and plants that represent the diversity of life in New Hampshire. And that is, those grounds are open for the public for hunting, fishing, snowmobiling. We've worked to protect about 260,000 acres in the state. We have working forests and some preserves that we own. And we own a lot of land up in northern New Hampshire. And it's just been a long tradition of ours to respect the values of the North Country.
Yeah, and one of the things that I certainly and one of the organizations that we know of here, the Balsams, you know, very good friends of the station. I first found out about Nature Conservancy last year when I started going up there. They got a nice big sign right at the check-in desk.
The Balsams has been a terrific partner with the Nature Conservancy. In fact, if folks are heading up there for the Valentine's Day weekend, which I hope you all do, it's just a terrific place to stay, to take your girl up there and have a wonderful time. My wife and I have been up there a few times, and the wonderful people up there will ask if you want to voluntarily donate $2 to the Nature Conservancy, and it's been a great partnership. So
yeah,
we thank the Balsams.
Well, very good. So the in looking at the issues of the North Country, I mean, the Nature Conservancy's position on this comes from a number of points from what I can see.
Yeah, I mean, this is so early in the process. This process is going to take many, many, many years. But there was a deadline in December that we had to meet in terms of weighing in on the application, the preliminary application. And based on the information that was provided in that application, we felt that the way this project was being designed and how it was being routed concerned our goals, and not only our goals, but I think the goals of the landowners in the North Country. I think I'm here today to really back the landowners that have helped us protect some properties that abut them, that have helped us raise money and get some forest projects done. And I think a lot of folks, there's a lot of recreational value. This is a world-class area in the United States for recreation that a lot of folks don't know, but it's a truly tremendous area. So our comments really reflect that.
Well, I mean, it has been referred to, and I'll even refer to it too, as a pristine wilderness, essentially.
It's a completely, it was funny. We were up there a few weeks ago, and I said to my wife, I said, I don't even feel like I'm in New Hampshire. It is completely, you don't even feel like you might even be in the United States. It's just a completely different landscape. And trees that if you've been out to the western part of the United States, northwest, trees that are really tall and big, and moose, and it's a really unique place.
Right, and if you talk to the people who live there, they talk about that uniqueness, which is why they chose to live there, which is why they work in putting so much land into conservation easements. I mean, people doing 1,000 acres or a few hundred acres, or maybe even 10 or 20 acres, perhaps.
You're talking families that have had land in their families for generations and just don't want to see that land get let go to some other use that has not been compatible with the history of their family. We had one family that approached us to protect not only their family farm, but protect a colonial fort for colonial soldiers, Fort Wentworth, which is in Northumberland.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, we went forward and protected that area. And this project, the alternative route, would go right through that area. So not only the family farm, but the, you know, the our history, our cultural history in New Hampshire that people value. There are just so many aspects to this. It isn't necessarily about the spotted owl and the snail daughter. This is really about, I think, what landowners really have valued their land for.
And, you know, looking at that, you know, we look at the forest land that's being used up there, because even though it's in a conservation easement, it's still being worked by the people who live there, too. You know, we still have logging operations that go on in a lot of this land. So it's providing a livelihood for some of these people because before I get you to expand on that one, what people need to understand is there's going to be about 40 new miles of 40 miles of new right-of-way that need to be cleared, established for the utility companies, and then you know, you got to clear the land, which I think right now the proposal is 150 feet wide, according to Northern Pass officials.
Right, and that certainly depends on the terrain. That's very different depending on the topography and you know how much granite is in an area, or you know, it's, so that width will vary based on location.
Oh wow. Okay. So when you made your initial concerns to the Department of Energy, you were looking at a lot of these aspects. You know, the type of forest that there is, the ecosystems that are in place, which are unique, not only just in this part of the country, but even perhaps in the entire country, the livelihoods of the people that are at stake here, and how all those elements are allowed to commingle.
When you look at the northern New Hampshire, we look at it as an entire landscape that goes from Maine to New York. It's called the Northern Appalachian Ecoregion. That's a sort of geeky science term.
Okay.
And this spans two countries. It spans four states. It's 80 million acres. This particular area contains rare alpine vegetation, old-growth forests. There are some forests and some trees up there that date back pre-Columbus. It's just been that much intact. And there's not another intact area pretty much in the United States where you have nearly 5 million people that live near it, which is why it has such recreational resource value to not just New Hampshire but all across the northern region of New England.
Sure. 1-866-823-1077. Joel Harrington of the Nature Conservancy is joining us here on Bulldog Live. You know, I want to go over a couple of points. You mentioned fragmentation of large intact forests in this new corridor areas that would be. You know, so you're basically breaking up the forest, you know, the ecosystem.
Yeah, and you know, we've done a lot of work looking at fragmentation, and fragmentation is basically creating these, you're bisecting, you know, creating these large corridors where you're bisecting the forest. And this creates, you know, you create issues of invasive species, which affects native species of, you know, I don't want to get into too much geeky science stuff here, but it does affect our natural sort of vegetation of our forest cover. But it also creates these sort of superhighway or highways of areas that may not necessarily be open to the public, may not be necessarily open for recreation, and it you know there's an importance to wildlife and how wildlife moves across that large landscape and how moose and bear can get across large tracts. And as you fragment that forest more and more and more, it creates these obstacles for large animals like moose and bear to really move across that landscape. And so what you end up doing is creating these pockets and these islands in the forest that they, you know, they can only be in or have, you know, their habitat is. And that's not what they're used to. So you're helping populations, you're helping the movement of these large species to move across the landscape, which is good for all sorts of recreational values.
So by building clearing out you know these paths through the forest for these power lines, that would disrupt them. I mean, I would think that moose like to go out in the open to you know for eating and you know just walking around perhaps a little bit easier for them. But they still need that cover of the trees.
They do need the cover, and we're you know really doing a lot of work on this and understanding it. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to understand how these types of corridors do affect wildlife, but for the most part, it creates, you know, you're reducing the level of vegetation, you're creating some invasive vegetation that's in those areas, and you're just creating this, you know, area that they're not used to. It's just, it's just an area that they're not going to go across because of intense sunlight issues or, you know. But again, this is all preliminary. I'm probably getting well above my head on this.
But I mean, I still think it's good for people to know, because again, if they've been in the North Country, they know what we're talking about. If they don't know that, well, opportunity for them to go check it out themselves. You know, the alternative routes, you mentioned going through Northumberland and that colonial farm. You also have a very large piece of conservation land in the North Country as well.
This is really a special place. I mean, well, there are two places. One, we were very instrumental in the Connecticut Lakes Headwaters Tract, which is about 146,000 acres. That was a deal that was done many years ago with the state of New Hampshire and a timber investment company, and is now, you know, an enormous place to do. Lake Umbagog is up in that area, the Connecticut Lakes Headwaters. That's basically where the Connecticut River starts.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a 25,000-acre easement up there. But the other place that I think is really special and I think unique, particularly to the folks in Colebrook, is the Vicki Bunnell Preserve. And a lot of folks, if you remember, this was a real special person. But back in 1997, there was a real tragedy that happened at La Pearl's IGA in Colebrook, where a guy had shot and killed, you know, two police officers and then got in his truck and went down to the News and Sentinel office and went into the office down there and unfortunately killed Vicki Bunnell, who was a district judge. And this place was a place that she always visited, and we decided to, you know, in memory of her and her family, we decided to name it after her. And there's an old-growth forest up there. There's a working forest easement on that property as well. It's 10,000 acres, and, you know, we have a lot of abutters to that land who really treasure it.
Yeah, so that you need to take a look at that. The Silvio Conti National Fish and Wildlife Refuge as well.
Right. So there's many folks may not know this, but there is a sort of network of refuge lands that goes from northern New Hampshire all the way down to Connecticut, and a significant portion of that is in New Hampshire. And this is, you know, folks who use their duck stamps go out in this area and do a lot of hunting and fishing up in Pondicherry and the Mascoma River, and Mohawk River area. But this refuge system, the line, again, would come through these focus areas within the refuge system. And what was interesting in their application, in Northern Pass's application, is they didn't even consider this area and the unique and tremendous opportunity that this area presents for New Hampshire and the region. And we felt that was an important thing they should have mentioned in their application.
Now, were there other things missing from the application that you're concerned with?
Well, I think that, you know, this whole area, where is the applicant coming in the northern section of New Hampshire? So Stuartstown, Pittsburgh, you know, where is the crossing in from Canada? So if you look at their map, they create, you know, there's this big sort of swath up in the Connecticut Lakes area that is hatched, and they actually, there's no line. They don't show a line on the map.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely blank. And I would say, if you talk to the folks and citizens who are at that hearing yesterday, that's probably one of the most important pieces to define: where are you putting the line? And it's very difficult, I think, for us as an organization to determine whether this application was complete based on not knowing where the line was in that really sensitive area. You're talking about folks like John Amy, and who own, you know, the Amy Farm, who spoke yesterday, and some other folks from Stuartstown, where, you know, not having that area defined, I think, was really a critical piece to how that would affect their farming operations. How would it affect their livelihood and how they use their land in terms of maple sugaring? And we heard a lot yesterday at that hearing how different business operations were going to be affected by this line, which was fairly, I think, new and a discovery to me.
Right. Mark McCulloch, who spoke from Stratford, this line would go right through the middle of his sugar bush, which is really his only way of earning a living right now. He's one of the casualties of the Groveton paper mill.
Right. Right.
So, you know, yeah, there is a lot of that disruption in their lives, which is what you've asked the Department of Energy to consider.
Yeah, we felt that the concerns raised by the local citizens, I mean, you look at this area, I don't think there's any other place as much as this area in northern New Hampshire, the North Country, where people really depend on their land for their livelihood. Whether you're the Balsams, whether you're Mountain View Grand, the Mount Washington Hotel, or you're John Amy, or you're a guy running a sugar bush, it all is resource-based. And, you know, that may not be the case down in other parts of our state, but in this area, it's very, very true. And And we felt that that should be recognized, and it wasn't recognized in the application, that they should evaluate those operations. They should look at how those operations depend on the resources and how this line would affect those resources. We felt that that should have been evaluated.
Well, Joel Harrington, how do people find out more about the Nature Conservancy?
You go to nature.org/New Hampshire, and there's everything there.
Very good. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to post this letter that was written back in December on my website, Northern Pass page at briantilton.com, so that people can see this, so they can understand a lot of the points that we talked about today and maybe even learn one or two things about some of the impacts here. So you folks are going to stay involved in this process, I presume?
We are. I mean, given that it really, the alternative paths go close to our properties, we're going to stay very close and engaged in it. We haven't intervened in it yet. We don't know if we will at this point, but there's a...
Intervening is a technical, legal type process,
right,
as well.
Right. Gives you a different subset of rights. And we're going to continue to evaluate that. But right now, we're here, I think, to stand behind landowners that have, I think, livelihoods are going to be affected by this.
All right. Very good. Well, Joel, nice to meet you.
Right.
And good to see you at yesterday's hearing as
Great.
Well.
Thanks, Bulldog.
All right. Take care.